Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this very special learning opportunity. And, of course, we're very grateful to the Dr. Yitzhak Belazan, Beis Medrash of Boca Raton Synagogue, for enabling this wonderful, wonderful learning opportunity with Rabbi Neuberger. As many know, many Talmidim here, Rabbi Neuberger is a Rosh Hashiva, Yeshiva University, and he's also a Rav in Bergenfield, New Jersey. He's a Rebbe and a mentor to me and to many of the Rebbeim and Mechanchim in our community. I had the privilege of growing up in Teaneck, Bergenfield. They're part of one greater community. And for us, the opportunity to be exposed to an outstanding Talmud Chacham, someone of the stature of Rabbi Neuberger, but who also was a local community Rav, who had the sensitivity and the care and the concern and the love, not only for the members of his shul. My family lived at a distance from Beth Abraham. We didn't daven in his shul. But when it came time to get into learning in my adolescent years, his shul was the address for night seder, for nighttime learning, and for inspiring intense learning in so many ways. And I remember the privilege of developing a relationship with Rabbi Neuberger. It didn't matter whether one's family was technically a member of his shul or not, but the young people who grew up in the Teaneck Bergenfield community who wanted to learn, wanted to grow, Rabbi Neuberger was and continues to be an outstanding source of inspiration, a mentor, a Rebbe, and a posek to us. I think it's a great tribute to Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan, to YU, to have Rosh Yeshiva like Rabbi Neuberger, who are not only outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, who not only give shiurim as we're about to hear, but who as Rabbanim understand with sensitivity. The psak is not one that's delivered from an ivory tower, but it's delivered with the love, care, and concern for every single human being within whom Rabbi Neuberger comes in contact. So it is a great honor and a great privilege for our community to host Rabbi Neuberger this evening. We look forward to inviting Rabbi Neuberger back for a Shabbos, and maybe he can get away from his community. He'll join us without any further ado. Please rise and join me in welcoming Rabbi Neuberger Shlita.
Thank you very much for your overly kind introduction. I was driving into Boca this afternoon, so I said, "So this is how Gan Eden looks." I hear such wonderful things about the community from our families that graduated to Boca. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much. And then even better to give a shir on Gan Eden. I wasn't actually doing Torah together. So I thank you very much. I thank the Rabbanim for being here. Rabbi Goldberg, as you know, is a person who's in Boca, but his impact is over all of America, and he's a person that we consult with in order to get a better feel for the needs of the broader community. And I can work with many, many Rabbanim, Rabbi Moskowitz, Rabbi Flug. I have the Rabbi Morris, that's in the Rabbi Morris section. And it's Rabbi Moshe Shakin. Okay. So thank you very, very much for joining us. And many of the Rabbanim were here this afternoon, Rabbi Hachman, Talmidim from a long time. Thank you very, very much. The topic that I was asked to discuss was the topic of establishing time for the study of Torah, a topic of some of the essential issues of Talmud Torah itself. And what I'd like to look at is a section in the Rambam. And we'll learn a Rambam together, and then we'll develop some of the issues that come out of this Rambam. The Rambam at the very top of the page, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, Kol Ish Mi Yisrael Chayav B'Talmud Torah. Every Jew has to study Torah. Bein Oni Bein Osher, poor, rich, bein shalem begufo, whether he's healthy, bein bal yisurin, or whether, God forbid, he suffers. Bein bachur, bein shayzokin gadol, young, or a person who's much older. We have, that's why we have Moshe Moskowitz over here, because whether he's very young, or zokin gadol, a person already in my age. Toshash kocho, that's not true. A person is ready, shvach is weak. Afilu hoya oniyam is parnes min atztaka. Chazer l'psachim, and they're so poor that he has to go from door to door. Afilu balisho bonim, a person who has Baruch Hashem a large family, chayuv lekvoa lo zman l'talmud Torah b'yom b'layla, has to set aside time, day and night. Shenemar, because the pasuk Yeshua says v'gisa bo yomam v'layla. All right. What strikes you as strange about this Rambam? If I would say, Chayiv kol ish b'Yisrael laniach tefillin, bein oni, bein osher, bein sholim, bein gufa, bein alba, I don't think you'll find such a Rambam. Chayiv kol ish b'Yisrael l'sateif batzitzis, bein oni, chayiv kol ish b'Yisrael lito lulav. I think it would be hard-pressed to find such a text. So when the Rambam presents the mitzvah of studying Torah, why does the Rambam all of a sudden become almost like a Musar Sefer, right? Why does the Rambam say, rich, poor? It's a mitzvah. Right? What's he emphasizing? What issue is he emphasizing?
The emphasis is that everybody means anybody, you know.
And how about the tefillin? How about Shabbos? Shabbos is a very important mitzvah. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu say there was a time when people were challenged with parnasa. So Rambam does not say rich, poor, can afford, can't afford it. Why did the Rambam all of a sudden wax? So he wanted this kind. Now the truth is that what you're suggesting was suggested by Rav Shach. Shach, the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, in the introduction to one of his svarim, so he asks this question as well. And he says, well, when it comes to Torah study, people often find reasons not to study Torah. And it's true, but the Rambam is writing a legal text over here. It's like halachos, right? It's not a Musar Sefer. And I also have to point out that Rav Shach wrote a commentary in the Rambam. He does not record this comment in the comment. It's the introduction. So he himself didn't really see this as the pshat in the Rambam. So why would the Rambam, that's what it called, Ishmi Yisrael. Then the next halacha, Gidolei Chachmei Yisrael, Hoyu Meyen Chotvei Eitzim, Umeyen Shoavei Mayim. Some of the great, some of the giants of Klal Yisrael were woodchoppers, they were water drawers, Meyen Sum, those who couldn't see. Va'av Al Pikein, and nevertheless, Hoyu Oskin b'Talmud Torah b'Yom u'B'Layla, they study Torah day and night. V'heim mechlal matiki hashvua ish mi pi. And Moshe Rabbeinu, and some of them became some of the transmitters of and responsible for the Torah. That's what I want to explore. The Rambam, who is careful with his words, why does he become so lengthy? Can anybody find an inner in the text itself, even if we would grant emphasis? Right? That's what's your name, I'm sorry?
Phil.
Okay. Zimmerman. Mr. Zimmerman. So even if we want to say, yeah, Mr. Zimmerman's correct, emphasis, can you find something within the Rambam that would clearly indicate it's more than emphasis? A repetition of the Rambam. How many excuses? Okay. But what do you find?
Yom HaLaila means any time, all the time.
Okay.
Like it's a mitzvah, you have to do it in the morning, all the time.
Okay.
Only twice.
So look at how he says it. He says, Kol ish mi Yisrael bein oni bein osher. All right? Now here we take Mr. Zimmerman's approach, emphasis. But then he says again, Afilu wa yo oni am bisparnes min atztaka. So Rambam must be going for something over here. Right? I see, but when I was very taken, when I came into the building and I saw that this is a shir that promotes the memory of Yitzchak Belazon, your father said, was very moving for me. Because I'm sure when you dedicated the Beis HaMedrash, Dr. Yitzchak Belazon was one of these people that was a person who was just a phenomenal individual. It was a person who was practiced medicine with expertise and with great, great kindness. And the person shleif posak girsim mefume. He didn't. He's always in mind, always on learning. So this is a good shir, really nishmas your father. So what I would present right now is an idea. I had the great, great zechus of growing up in a shul in Toronto. And the Rav of that shul is of Nachum Rabinovich, who is now he's living in Eretz Yisrael. He is the Rosh Yeshiva of Ma'alei Adumim, and he's also a fantastic Talmud Chacham. He's a person that I remember as a child, that we, as a kid, we realized that he knew, he had Shas, Rambam, Bavli Yerushalmi, Munach B'Kaf Yada. I remember as a child having asking him a question, having a Tosus that I didn't understand, and I forget it was a Megillah or something. And I remember bringing him the Sefer and asking, I have a problem with this Tosfos, expecting, I wanted to give him 5 seconds, 10 seconds to read the Tosfos. So he looks at me and says, so what's your question? And so that's, so he wrote, he's written a Sefer, he's writing a Sefer called the Yad Pshuta, which is a running commentary on the Rambam. And the role of the Yad Pshuta is to try to find sources for the Rambam, and very often to find sources for the Rambam in the Rambam's writings. But here, we don't need to go down that road. But he refers to a Gemara in Yuma, Tana Rabbanon, the second source. Oni v'oshir v'rasha bo'in ladin. A poor person, a rich person, a person who doesn't keep mitzvahs. It's li'achar me'ya v'esrim shana. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging. So the poor person comes and says, how come you didn't learn so much? Im Omer, if he says, me? Ani Ayisi, the Torvud Bimzon Osai, if he says, how can you expect me? I barely made a living. If I came home at 10 o'clock at night and was able to put food on the table, Omer lo, we say to him, Klum Ani Ayisa, Yosim Mihilo. Poor, yes. Poorer than Hillel? No. Omer Olav Hillel HaZokin. Hillel HaZokin Shebechol Yom V'Yom HaYo'osa U'mistaker B'Trafik. He went to work. He worked very, very hard. He was able to make a trafik a day. All right? Chetz Sheyo'inosin L'Shemir Beis HaMedrash V'Chetz Sheyo L'Parnososo U'L'Parnosos Anshei Beiso. Half of the trafik, that was for his family. The other half was when he gave the, it's hard for us to imagine, that they had a bouncer in the base of Medrash, which is not Italian. And you had to come in with a tropic in order to pay, otherwise they wouldn't let you in. It's a, you know, it's a fundraising approach, I don't think it would go so well. Right? They had the closest we have to this is Rav Kook. And Rav Kook came to his town in Europe, his first, he's a young man, and his first shtela, he wasn't happy with the mikvah. So he wanted to build a new mikvah. So they just hired a rabbi, and they just got the salary together, and now he says, he hired me, and you have to build a new mikvah? The rabbi, no, we can't afford it. So Rav Kook was a very, he was an iron fist in a velvet glove. So that week, he collected all the Shabbos talesim of all his balabatim, and took it to his house. And he announced that, when you make your donation to the mikveh, you'll get your Shabbos talis back. So that's the closest I can imagine coming to this. Don't try that either. So he had to give a half a tropic to the Shem Beis HaMedrash. V'chetz l'fanosos v'anos. Pa'am achos lo'imotzo l'istaker. One day, he didn't have a tropic. V'lo'inichu Shemer Beis HaMedrash l'ikones. Unimaginable. And the bouncer said, little Hillel can't come in. He was not a young man. Ola v'notla v'yoshav al pi aruba kedei sheyishme divrei Elohim chayim mipi shmai b'talion. He said, the Gedolei Ador are giving shir. I have to hear. So he climbed up to the top and he sat on the rooftop, right? And the skylights. He sat on the skylights to listen to Torah. What happened to him? It didn't happen, it wouldn't happen in Boca. Where I come from, it started snowing. Right. And the snow covered him. That was Friday. Shabbos morning, Shemaya says to Talia, it's dark in here. She's not so dark. They look up and they see that, they see a snowman, literally snowman. They see this silhouette of a person on the skylight. So they go up. And they uncover three tefachim of snow, and they bring Hillel in, and they warm him up, and they say if we had to be mechallel Shabbos to save this person, the mechallel Shabbos for. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Ani, no. So why? Where were you? Look at how Hillel did. Oshir. If the person says, Omer Lai, he says, I'm such a rich person. I have so many things to worry about. Rav Neimalo asakta b'Torah. Im omer ashiro yisi b'Torah yisi bin chosai. If he says that, how can I, every day that I, every hour, you know what my investments I'm making? You know, to ignore it, we have had a Jew in our community, Andy Neff, so he worked for Barry Stearns until there was no longer Barry Stearns. Right? So then when he's no longer Barry Stearns, he was a person of means. He always wanted to learn, so he started learning. He went to Beis Medrash for half a day. At the end of a year, he made a siman above Metzia. And he has a drasha called from Barry Stearns above Metzia. And the introduction to drasha, he says, there's never a good time to take time for learning, right? If business is not going so good, I can't take time now. I have to do more sales now. I have to see more people now. I have to generate business now. If business is going great, he says, now take off time. Now is the best. Now is when things are really cooking and every single sales pitch works. I'll take it. Not now. There's never a good time to take off. So that's what the Gemara is saying. That the Oshir, he says, well, there was a Belozer and Hyrcanus. Belozer and Hyrcanus was a man of great wealth, of inherited wealth. His father left him, the Gemara says, I think 1,000 boats with 1,000 islands. It was Rebbe Elazar ben Charsim. And Rebbe Elazar ben Charsim said, don't need it. The Gemara says he would brown bag his lunch every single day from his house to the Beis HaMidrash. One day, it says, Avodov Higiulo. Right? It means that there were people still working his father's empire. And they started va'osula anagriya. They started getting upset with him. He says, "We're working. We're the employees. You have a great business over here. We want to draw a salary. Start getting the business going." He says, "And not study Torah." He says, "Hanichu. I'm studying. I'm not going for this." And they started beating him up. And they said, "Ein onu man, we're not going to let you go." So he says, from that day on, he found a different place to study. He hid in order to be able to study Torah. So, would you get the sense from this Rambam? The Rambam wrote on many, many levels. So the Rambam wrote on one level where a person can read the Rambam and it's a sefer halacha, and the Rambam is doing it for emphasis. But then the Rambam has written, it's such a masterful sefer on another level. That what the Rambam is saying is, Bein Oni, Bein Osher, he wants us to recall these Gemaras. Bein Sholem, Begufoy, Bein Bal Yesurin. There's a Gemara that says that the Ovis Rav Nosson, Rabbi Akiva also, Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, is Mechayiv Aniyim. But the Gemara also says that if a person says, in fact, it's a continuation of this Gemara, Rasha says, we say, why did you study Torah? He says, No Hayisi V'Torah V'Yitzri. He says, I'm a good looking person. I have things, I have desires and fantasies that other people don't have. You can't come to me. With my good looks, you know what I have to live through. You know what Yetzer, so the Gemara says, so what will the Kodesh Baruch Hu say? He says, Yosef Etzadik was a very good looking person. And he, the Gemara describes the titanic battle that he had with Potiphar's wife. And the Gemara describes how this was a turning point in Yosef Etzadik's life, that he was coming out of the dungeon. He was there, he could have made it, and Potiphar's wife promises him how he will, and when he doesn't respond to the promises, she says, I'm going to put you in prison, I'll put you in the solitary. Didn't listen to him. So Yosef HaTzadik is Mechayiv Rishon, people, good looking people. I think that the Bal Yisurin, Rambam says, Bein Sholem Begufei, Bein Bal Yisurin. Sholem Begufei is Yosef is a Mechai. Bal Yisurin, I think, is of Shimba Yochai, he and his son were alone in a in a cave, they study Torah, study the Zohar. So I think what the Rambam is pointing out over here is there's a halach over here. And that is that there is such a thing as a mechayiv, something which obligates me to study. A person, kol ishmi Yisrael, chayiv betalmud Torah, and a person is being encouraged by the Rambam. Right? Again, on the simple level, emphasis, he wants to make sure that everybody realizes. Why would the Rambam wax in such a lengthy way and describe Ani, Oshir, Sholei, Megufay, Irshol, Megufay? So I think that the reason is because the Rambam is pointing out to us that when it comes to Talmud Torah, a person is supposed to seek out a Mechayiv. A person is supposed to seek out somebody that creates an obligation for themselves. I find that it's hard for me to carve out the time. I don't have the hour. There are many reasons I don't have the hour. Could be many reasons. But a person can find a teretz for that. It's called the mechayev. It's called the challenge. A person's supposed to find, just like Rambam says, with your own ear, you'll be able to find a person who is challenges you to study. I think the reason why the Rambam repeats Ani and Ani Mispanis Minatstaka is because Ani is Hillel, but then in the Ovis Rav Nosson, also Rabbi Akiva Lachayv Kol Ani and Badin. And Rabbi Akiva is going to challenge all poor people to study. Shim Omim Lahem, if they malu lamatim Torah, Vim Omim Neshaniyam Ayinu. Omim Lahal Rabbi Akiva Ani Vyoysu Vidudulhoya. So apparently, why would the Rambam repeat Ani and Ani Misfarnes? So that's what I would suggest. This is Rav Nachman Rabinovich's suggestion. Because with the Rambam on a deeper level is asking us to call up, to call pictures. Pictures of that the Gemara says. It's a picture the Gemara creates. The Gemara creates this idea that I have to challenge myself through the people of the Tandom and Amiram. And I would suggest, since it's in the Rambam, he's asking us to create mechayivim for ourselves. That somebody else is able to do it. In my own life, when I think about mechayivim, right, and this is true for many areas of Torah, it's true for chesed, it's true for davening. The Rambam says it's particularly true for the study of Torah because the Gemara makes this an issue for the study of Torah. I was thinking, for example, when I was a kid, goes back before Daf Yomi was a popular project, and before the study of Torah was nearly as respected as now. But I remember coming to shul in the mornings, it was at 7 o'clock or so, and there were two balabatim, one... You'll even recognize the last name, Sandy Hofstetter, and the other was an Aaron Weinstock, and they learned every day, I think from 6:30 to 7. Sandy Hofstetter was one of the gevirim of the community. His son, David Hofstetter, is the man behind Dirshu, but the Bro Kara Devua. He was a gevir, again, before the time when we really understood what it meant to build institutions, to put your funds into an institution. So here we had, I came to shul every morning, and one of the people that every yeshiva would come to help pay at the end of the month, and the person who, in a quiet way, was funding yeshivas, he was learning every single day. That's a tremendous mechayev I had. And Beis HaMedrash, come to YU now. One of the great mechayevim is come almost every day, probably every day. Rav Schechter, sitting in shirt sleeves in front of the Beis HaMedrash. We know about the calls that Rav Schechter gets. Right? We know the demand that he's in. And when he sits in the Beis HaMedrash, so again, there's a steady stream of questions. But the mechayev that is, that a person who's carrying the responsibility of Klal Yisrael, it's there day in and day out. And the only thing that's on his mind is learning the daf and the tosfos, learning. That's a tremendous mechayev. A lot of us think they were doing important things and are busy. That the when I had heard many times from Rav Eliach. Rav Eliach, so he Rosenzweig's father-in-law. He was a young boy growing up in Yerushalayim. And he told me many times that he remembered when the Chazon Ish came to Eretz Yisrael and the Tairam that it made, the big name the Chazon Ish came, Chazon Ish was a very quiet, unassuming person. And he and his friends were once traveled to Bnei Brak, and never once they knew where the Chazon Ish's home was. Again, it was a very, very small place. Chazon Ish lived alone, he was never blessed with children. And they, part of their adventures as a child was they tripped on the little cabin of the Chazon Ish. And this whole picture I find is so amazing. And they knock on the door and they see this thin, frail person lying down in bed with a Gemara. And they thought that was very funny. That's also a sign of the times. They'd never seen a person learn lying down on the couch. I can imagine my kids would say they never saw a person lying down on the couch. So they thought it was hilarious. They started laughing. Not a shtend, not a tell. So Chazanish looks up and he says, "What's so amusing?" He said, "We've never seen a person lying down with a Gemara." So he said, "I want you to understand. You have to remember this, that even when you're feeling terrible, you have to learn. You can't stop learning. That's what you have to walk away from this picture." So that was a machayev, and that's what I'm pointing out. When the Rambam describes Bein Oni, Bein Osher, Bein Sholem, Talmud Torah is different than every other mitzvah. When it comes to other mitzvahs, we're not told that Lacher Meves Mishana, we're going to be, if we say we couldn't afford tefillin, and we really could not afford tefillin, okay, we'll get a pass on it. Yeah? If we're going to say that we couldn't do sukkah this year, but we were, and it's genuine, halacha recognized it, we'll get a pass on it. When it comes to Talmud Torah, the Rosh Baruch is going to say that Torah is different. You were supposed to have found a machayev. You were supposed to have found somebody who's in a similar position to you, and he was able to do it. And then that's the challenge you have to bring to yourself. And I think that's what the Rambam is pointing out in this lengthy conversation, which one can appreciate when you see which Gemaras he's coming from. Now, let's look at the end of the sentence. Chayav lekvoa lo zeman letalmud Torah biyom u'balayla. He has to set time aside, daytime and nighttime. During the day, during the night. How much time does he set aside? Would you say? Is that? Whatever it seems to be. The Gemara Menachah says, when you say Kriya Shema, and you have in mind, I am also fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you're okay. The Gemara in Menachah says, the Rebbe says, we should not publicize this Gemara. We'll never get a shir together, right? If we know that you can become the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the way Jews think. Jews understand that if by saying Shema, I can chap the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, I'm going to say Shema 10 times. I'm for sure going to go to a shir. I'm sure going to learn more. So the Rambam seems to leave us as much as we have to challenge ourselves to learn, seems to make it pretty easy for us. It's only B'yom V'Layla. That was the Kash of the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim is a sefer called Torah Savayis. And the Chavetz Chaim asks a question that was on my mind, still on my mind, for a very long period of time. Every time we say Shema, we say B'dibar Tobom, right? After study Torah. B'shiftecha B'veisecha, when you're home. B'lechtecha B'derech, when you're traveling. B'shachpecha, when you're retiring. B'kumech, when you get up, right? It's a pasuk in Chumash. Sounds like we have to be entirely consumed with the mitzvah studying Torah. So why does the Rambam let us off with, it's a Gemara, But how could the halacha say lekvavol, just set some time aside, Torah study during the day, Torah at night? But that's not what the Chumash says. No. So that was the kasha. I was so gratified, something that I was grappling with, and I was so gratified because the Chavetz Chaim says it's inconsistent. We say I'm a halach b'derech echidu mafne liboy lebat toler. It's chayv nafshe. Person's traveling and he's not studying Torah. He's thinking about something that's not important. That after we're going to be asked lachem eresim efshar lo lasok v'yerosek. We say every morning the Talmud Torah is one of those things she'ein lo shir. The Rambam says there is a shir. Chavetz Chaim, we often think about the Chavetz Chaim as the one who gave us the mitzvah of Lashon Hara, right? He spoke, he discovered the mitzvah of Lashon Hara, wrote a whole sefer, a few svarim on it. We sometimes think of the Chavetz Chaim as the person who encouraged the study of Kodshim, to encourage us to work towards having another Beis HaMikdash. What I find is so unusually impressive, so singularly impressive, the Chavetz Chaim. When you think of the Chavetz Chaim, is that if you look at the volumes of Svarim that he wrote what he thought Klal Yisrael needed. And he wrote for Klal Yisrael. You see, it's just a heart, a person in Radin, and he said, if Klal Yisrael needs a Sefer, I'm going to write it. Mishneh Berurah, 11 years. Why? Because he felt Klal Yisrael needed it. He wrote, there were Jews in the army. So he felt Jews in the army need direction. How do you handle military situations? Put a Sefer, right? There was a time when somebody came to Chavetz Chaim and asked about going to America. And he was very discouraging going to America. And somebody was in the room, said to Chavetz Chaim, he said, but Rebbe, why are you so discouraging? You're going to have to go to America. Chavetz Chaim said, you're going to have to go to America. He says, there are Jews in America, and they're going to need you to teach them and talk to them and encourage them. You're going to have to go. So Chavetz Chaim didn't sleep that night. And he said, so the next day he said, no, you're right. But I don't have the strength to go to America. So I'm going to write a sefer for American Jews, Nidchei Yisrael. And you have volumes and volumes, and you just see there's a heart that says, if Jews need something, I'm concerned and worried about it. The Sefer Torah Savayis, which is how Jews were learning Torah. And the first half of the Sefer is trying to figure out why Jews aren't learning. It's all sorts of different reasons. They're too involved in the newspaper, different reasons why they're... And then after he analyzes, then he begins to discuss the mitzvah. So he raises the question. Is the mitzvah half an hour, 10 minutes, 5 minutes day, 5 minutes night? Is it v'gisa v'yom v'loila likvola lo zman? Or is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah to be b'shochbucha b'kumecha? What's the mitzvah? No. How would you resolve the after the Rambam is such a big taram on the oshir sholim begufei? The kvol is man the Talmud Torah. So what is it? Is it an all-embracing mitzvah? Go ahead.
Maybe one is the time and the other one is the manner.
Go ahead.
So it has to be in the morning and at night, but at night you could be walking, you could be laying down, you could be getting up, so addressing different.
So you think one is the...
The time of day? One is the position you're in physically.
But the point, but in b'shocho kumecha, as an irrespective of what you're doing, but you only have to do... So that might be halachically correct, because we do paskin that one can be mekayim the mitzvah, and what is yotzei the mitzvah. Any other suggestions? But how we would resolve? So I want to present, in the next 15 minutes, I want to present two views of how to resolve this. One is the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and then the Chavetz Chaim. The Alter Rebbe, you'll see it, I've asked to copy large chunks there. We won't read all the large chunks, only because he has a very surprising approach. An approach that will resonate with us, but very surprising that the Rebbe says. In heaven, source number 5. Source number 5, he says, there are different kinds of people. Source number 5, Kol mi shedato v'koach zechrono yof, a person who's talented, has a great memory. He's able to learn and remember large parts of Torah. Torah Shebaal Peh Kula. As if this Jew should postpone getting married, he should try to learn all of Torah. And then, after he gets married, he should minimize how much time he puts into his parnasa. V'chayivu min haTorah likvoa lo eis gedolo l'talmud Torah b'chol yom kemo chatzi yom l'fachos milavad limud alayla. He says he has to learn half a day and learn at night. Shneamar v'dibartabam. It says v'shinantam. So what's v'dibartabam? Sheyehei kol diburcha elobam. That you should be entirely consumed by Torah. Later on, he says in the boldface, "V'lachein omru chacham shehillel mechayiv esoniyim b'din shemayim." And when Hillel was mechayiv aniyim, Hillel was that kind of a person that, because of his talents and his dedication, he's mechayiv those people who are so profoundly gifted that they have to dedicate themselves to the study of Torah in a overwhelming sense. The next sif, 5 Aleph, he says, but you have a person who's not so talented. He's not going to be able to master all of Torah. Lo higia lemidus, in the second line. He's not going to understand Torah with depth. He is going to be a good Jew. He has to know how to study, how to do mitzvahs. So the Rambam says in the bold, so the Alter Rebbe in the bold face, he doesn't have to live with great difficulty. He doesn't have to minimize his parnasa, because after he studies, he's not going to understand it with great depth anyways. And he's not going to remember it. So his obligation is far less. Abu Min Adin, the last paragraph on the page, Yotzi dechovosei bekviyus itim l'talmud Torah. As long as he sets some time aside, day and night, he's mekayim the mitzvah. And the rest of the time, he should be working, supporting his family, and supporting those who can study Torah as well. That's on the other side of the page. Then he has two other comments. Five base is... for me, it's always a very encouraging sign. That's 9:13, and we suddenly turned over almost all the pages. Baruch Hashem. So, glad you're still with me. We're good. So the then the Rambam writes, then the Alter Rebbe writes, Misha datu yofa yochel lilmot tami alochos. And there will be a time when a person is very, very talented. He can study, he will understand Torah, but there'll be times in his life where he can't do it. Because he has to survive, he has to make a parnasa. See 5 Gimel. There are people who are not so talented, but they parnasa is taken care of. They don't have to work so hard. They have money coming in. They have to study Torah for an overwhelming part of the day. So Alter Rebbe says that the Torah is speaking to 2 different people. That Chayav l'kvo azman means you have to figure out what your obligation is. You have to figure out what the balance is. Alter Rebbe says every Jew is obligated to understand what is the balance they require in their life. And he gives examples. A person who is talented, he's going to master Torah, understand it with profound insight, he has to give the overwhelming amount of his time to the study of Torah. And if he says it's difficult, he can't do it, Hillel is going to be the Mechayiv. If he says, Rabbi Kiva will be the Mechayiv, he'll find the challenge. He'll find a person in his own community who dedicated the time of his life to study. Even that person is going to have to make decisions. Sometimes he just has to tear away from his study to make sure he's tending to his family. Even then, that person's going to have to, but he has to make the decision. And then there will be people who say, look, I'm not going to master Torah. I have to study. I'll be koveya time for studying, but the overwhelming amount of my time will be earning, supporting communal needs, taking care of those who can study. But everybody has to make a decision. A person who, Baruch Hashem, is well-funded, doesn't have to spend hours and hours a day earning a living, then the pendulum switches back. Even if he will not be so successful in the study of Torah, but Kadosh Baruch Hu has given him this time, he has to take care of what has to be taken care of, and then expand the amount of time he's using for learning. The Alter Rebbe says that v'gisa b'yomim v'layla is an obligation to make a decision. Kovatu itim latar means, did you figure it out? How much time you need? Did you figure out the right balance? Were you honest with yourselves as to who you are, what you can accomplish? And then take the next step and say, well, now, how does the study of Torah fit into the breadth of my life, having to earn something, having to support, having to take care of other communal needs? Chavetz Chaim is a different approach. Right? And the kasha is, Torah says, V'dibar tobam shekol diburcha, all of your studies, everything you do should be Torah. Should be like pasa gersami pume. Chavetz Chaim says you shouldn't be worried about reading about the primaries. You're not going to affect the primaries anyway, right? So he says you shouldn't be reading about it. Should be learning instead. Chavetz Chaim says that focus on what's more important. But yet the same Rambam says that chayv lekvo zman b'yom b'layla. So Alter Rebbe says, different people, different situations, the obligation is to figure out the balance in your life. And the Chavetz Chaim says that we should understand, you can look at source number 6. Elokvias itim u'achiyuv afilum torud godolim chyoso mechuyov lekvo eis letorah she'eis ze lo yevatel b'shum ofen. He says the person has to work on two systems. One system is it has to be an inviolable time of my morning and of my day and my night with a set aside for Torah. It has to be some time, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is. But a time when I say this is kavua, this is set aside for the study of Torah. And it's inviolable unless there's something that's more pressing in the service of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's taken care of. A mitzvah that nobody else can take care of. But otherwise it's inviolable. And then it has to be my pastime. That when I have downtime, when I'm not, I have to deal with my parnasa, with my family, with communities, when I have a downtime, a break, then I go back to learning. Then I have my Mishnah project, I have my Kizah Shulchan Aruch project, I have my Shtayim Mikvot, whatever it is. Ongoing projects, so that when there's downtime, pull it a safe, right? I'm waiting for somebody, the famous story of Mordechai Benetz, the Siyum of Shas Shel Dakot. In Yiddish it's the Siyum de Menitin, the Siyum of Minister. Mordechai Benetz was one of the great Gedolim of Yerushalayim. He came from Europe, and then he was in Yerushalayim, and at one point in his life, he was one of the great Jews of Yerushalayim, and he says he made a tremendous siyum, because he finished Shas. So his Talmidim said, Rebbe, it's not the first time he finished Shas. Why are you making a big party? He said, no, this is a very special Shas. Why? When I came to Yerushalayim, and they asked me to come to a wedding, and they picked me up at 5:15, I was ready at 5:15. But in Yerushalayim, you can wait, right? And then when somebody said, I'm going to pick up for a bris, be ready at 6 a.m., I was ready 6 a.m., ready to go. And I sat, I waited. I realized Yerushalayim is different. So what I did is, every time I waited for somebody to pick me up, I started learning. And I finished Shas now, just from having, just from the minutes I put together. So the Sima Shas de Menitin, the minutes, I can add up to finish Shas. So the Kibbutz in Yerushalayim, there's so many Jews who know Shas so well. So that's what the Chavetz Chaim is saying, that the study of Torah becomes almost the measure of our time. that I have to set time aside, and then I have to have, and that's the Chayav Lekvoa Zeman V'yom V'layla. And in addition, then there's the V'divartavam, and then there's when I have time on my hands, so to speak. So what have we accomplished so far? We have this, that we began with the Rambam. And the Rambam begins by saying that a Jew should encourage themselves to study Torah. Torah is different than every other mitzvah. And it seems that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us that we find Mechayev and we find a challenge. We find somebody who living in my situation and is able to overcome and use that as inspiration. Then the Rambam says, Chayev l'kvo lo zman l'talmud Torah b'yom u'b'layla. And two ways to understand. Either l'kvoa means to make it, to understand how what my needs and what my talents are. And then make a balanced decision of how I'm going to balance the study of Torah and the other requirements of my life, Alter Rebbe. Or Chavetz Chaim would say, Chayiv l'kvol ozman, an obligation to have an inviolable time. And then, in addition, v'dibar tabom, when there's nothing else happening. When I learned this Rambam, I became very concerned that, according to Rambam, I may never have fulfilled the mitzvah Talmud Torah, Bishlei Musa. Right? Even though I've been blessed to be able to spend large chunks of every day in the study of Torah. But the Rambam says, Chayiv l'kvo lozman. So I was wondering what the Rambam is saying, I have to set time aside. Let's say I would say, I take care of the things that I have to do for the shul today, I take care of the Talmidim, whatever, and then I'll learn. According to Rambam, I don't know if I fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Bishlei Musa in a perfect way. I get up in the morning and I say, it comes 2 o'clock, I'm going to sit down and learn, unless there's some overwhelming need that comes up. And I'm going to learn from 2 to 5. I'm kovei azman. So I don't know if the Rambam would say that one has fulfilled the mitzvah, Bishlei Musa, without actually addressing the clock, so to speak. And one thing, I often wonder about this. I once bumped into Rabbi Breidowitz, who's one of these genii that knows everything. So I said, have you ever come across this idea? And Kedarka Bakodesh, she says, I think there's a Mabit in Beis Elokim who says that idea. So I'm wondering if it's correct Pshat and Rambam. We can see this; these two ideas of the Alter Rebbe and of the Chavetz Chaim, I think we see it as a discussion in Rashi and Tosfos. If you look at source number 7, a Gemara that we're familiar with, the Gemara says, Omar Rava B'Shah Shemachnisen Odom Ladin Omrim Lo, when a person comes to judgment, whether it's after May of Esrim, whether it's in Yom Kippur. So the Rebbe Shmuel says to us, Nosatov and Nosatov Be'amuna. Did you conduct your business with integrity? First question. Next question. Kovata Itim the Torah. Did you set aside time for learning? Right. Now, look at the Rashi, source number 8. Rashi says, Lefi she'odom tzorach l'sasek b'derech eretz. Shem ein derech eretz ein Torah. Hutzruch l'kvoa itim l'torah dover kotzav. Shle yimoshech kol ha'yoyim l'derech eretz. He says, what's Rebbe Shmuel asking? He's saying, you have to earn a livelihood. So, I want to make sure your livelihood is done with integrity. That's nesatim nesatim b'muna. Next, he says, but a person who's only concerned with their livelihood, so it's a slippery slope. Will I be able to set time aside? So therefore, the next question is, okay, you're an honest man, you're an honest woman, now, kavata itim l'torah. But you see from the Rashi, it's like the Alter Rebbe. Right? Because Baruch Hu says we have to figure out what our balance is going to be. Kavata itim, did you figure out the balance? Tosfos, source number 9, says, the Gemara says that at first God's concerned about whether we worked with integrity. V'yachrakach, kavata itim l'torah. However, there's another Gemara that says that tchilosoi shall din al divrei Torah. The first thing God asks is about Torah, kavata itim. So Tosfos says, how do we reconcile these two sources? One that says the first thing that God asks is integrity, next Torah. The second is a text that says, no, what did we study today? That's number one. So look at what the Tosfos says in source number 9. Chosam ba'odam sha'osek b'torah mairi ela shelo kova itim. Hacha mairi kishali osak kalau. Is that the person has not been mindful of Torah, so the first thing God says to him is, where's my Torah? Person didn't go to Shiurim and didn't pick up a sefer and didn't open a sefer. The first thing you have to figure out is that which gives a meaningfulness to your life, did you do it? Then, that's going to drive the entire discussion with Rabbeinu Shlomo. Because if you studied Torah, one set of expectations, didn't, a different set of expectations. But let's say a person's learning. So Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. In other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, according to Tosfos, it's not really a din. It's really Kadosh Baruch Hu trying to challenge us. And so if he knows that we're learning, then he'll ask, Kavata Itim, was an inviolable time for the study of Torah? Did you do it right? So Tosfos and Rashi seem to already have come across in their own way what we're saying is the Alter Rebbe and Rashi's approach, the Alter Rebbe and the Chofetz Chaim's approach. So again, what we studied tonight is, first of all, I think a very powerful idea of seeking out other people, whether it was of times gone by, of our own time, who are challenge us to improve, specifically in the area of Talmud Torah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to ask those questions. And then we said that there are two approaches in Klal Yisrael. There's Alter Rebbe's approach that our obligation is to find the balance, each according to their own abilities and the pressures of the time. But there's an obligation to find it, to work out that balance. And the Chofetz Chaim has a different approach. He says every Jew has to have inviolable time for Torah, and then in addition, it has to be the pastime of every Jew. Let me close this. We have to have a Marav with a great story from the Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky is one of the Gedolei Ador. People go to him for advice all the time. And a man who completes Kol HaTorah Kula every single year. Right? Whatever you think Kol HaTorah Kula is, he's doing that every year. Right? So once a Jew came to him and he said, I'm about to start a business. I've started to expand my business. And things are going great. Gangbusters. I mean, it's just every day a new division, new clients. I want a bracha that no one should have an ayin hara on me. No one should be jealous of me. So Chaim Kanev says to him, he says, things are going so well. Sounds great. You're probably able to spend more time with your children. Rebbe, it's not how it works. You know, things to start to get a business going, and there's so many challenges. I have to work so hard. Right now, it's a time of my life, and I can't spend too much time with it. He says, probably you're going to be able to learn in the morning, right before you go to work. And I have to get there. The employees, they can't start working without me. Nothing's going to get done. I have to be there to get to open the store. Probably, if things are going so well, then at night, you're able to leave a little bit earlier and you can learn a good night Seder. Wait till Rosh. Maybe in a couple of years, but right now, you have to understand, you know, things are so lucrative. I have to work till hours. So Chaim says, and you're worried about an ayin hara? So that's what we have to keep in mind. That Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us time. And the Chofetz Chaim says the measure of time is the study of Torah. It's the time aside from the study of Torah. It should be the pastime of a Jew, the study of Torah. And again, I'm appreciative to you and thankful to you for the opportunity to come out and to have such a beautiful olam. come at this hour of night to study. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful to have this chus to teach the Torah l'nishmas, with the bellas on, and again to be greeted by so many people that I'm so connected with. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. I think we'll daven ma'arif here because I'm not sure everyone can fit anyway over there. So on the other side of the mechitza.